Get ready.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun? Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
I'm not going on the air, Lou, until you tell me you're sorry. Go ahead, say it. Say you're sorry. Okay, I'll go on the air now. Hi! How you folks doing? Thanks for coming over. I'm Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, a little thing we like to call Stronghold Radio. And what we do here is we throw out there in the ether, the internet, the digital domain, a militant Christian worldview, and we see who picks it up. And that's pretty much what we do. We try to share with you ideas, try to motivate you, try to learn from you, and try to make sure that everybody understands who the enemy is. I mean, there may be too many of them to put in one box, but at least we know who we are. So that's what we got to do. Just before we went on the air, people are commenting in there about staying the course. We win in the end, that kind of stuff. I kept getting booted out of the chat room, so kind of weird. We're up to 22 total views all of a sudden, which is kind of weird because there's only 9 current people in there. I sent off an email today asking the folks at Ustream to explain what this 9/22 means and why we get 10,000 plus hits on our website, but they only say there's 2,100 people listening to the show on Ustream, so I don't know. But it's interesting. But thank you for tuning in, Ustream listeners. Thank you, pod people. Thank you, people that are listening in the embeds that are around over at different spots. I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate your feedback. Don't forget to come in and sign the guest book. Check out Lou's forum that he set up. I don't think anybody's been in there in months. They don't like you, Lou. Did you leave your shoes and socks in there or something and they're afraid to go in? What's up with the forum? The forum's there for your help. I don't like forums. I like talking and sharing verbally with you what I think needs to be shared with you, so I don't go into the forums, so forgive me for not going in there, but that's where you guys need to exchange stuff. It's not about me, it's about the cause, so if you guys exchange stuff, that's great. And locating people, remember what I think it was yesterday or Thursday, I said there's got to be people in your area. Well, that's a great way to try and find them, is to look for other people and direct other people to the forum and direct people to the show, and then who knows? Maybe you'll find a neighbor that likes what we're putting down here. It says, URL removed, Lou. We are doing our utmost here to get ready for the Larry Wick training. He sent us supplies, USPS, United States Postal Service, and we haven't gotten them yet. Go figure. So we got to find those. But everything's still on. We've added some more faces to the class. The class still has some openings. We're going to try and max it out at 30. I think we're at 24 people right now. That's $150 for Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday, and then you get to go to church with us. We're cleaning up the area here, getting ready for people to come and sleep on the property. We were just scouting out this room here, or this building here. We've got to put some beds down and things like that. Because we are pretty, we're not like Alaska isolated. I say stuff like that. I know if Larry Wick's listening, he's probably like, isolated? Try coming from Alaska. But we're off the beaten path. So people who come here for any of the trainings are welcome to spend the nights here sleeping. It's not the Regency or the Marriott, so, but it's a nice place. We have a couch in here you can plop on. I'll set up some mattresses and beds, bed springs, things like that for people. But I encourage people to bring their sleeping bags and bedrolls and rough it a little bit. especially for this coming class, because it's not going to be that physically demanding. It's more or less a, what's the word I'm looking for? An entry-level martial arts class for the person who's just out there and about. So it's not like at the end of the day you're going to need to plop on a really big bed and take a hot shower and everything, although you can take a cold shower here. We do have the water heater working. We'll try and figure that out. Steve, how far behind is the lag? Steve, I see you listening over there. How's it sound? How does it sound to you guys? Are we sounding okay?
Sounds okay.
I did Warland. Warland's asked me a question. He sent me a link today that finally worked on 60 Minutes, did a story on the Sovereign Citizen Movement and just on Kane and his son that were killed and murdered. And all kinds of just weird stuff. I mean, 60 Minutes does a hit piece on everything. I don't care if they were reporting on Jesus Christ himself, it would be a hit piece. I don't care if they were reporting on something they believed in, it would be a hit piece. So it's not that great, but it was a good... Go to 60minutes.com and you can take a look at it. I posted it on Facebook for those of you that are listening there. Thank you, Twinkle Toes. And it was terrible. And the comments that were there, I actually registered with 60 Minutes so I could leave some comments on how stupid people were. And it follows up with yesterday's, when I talked about Indiana saying that you have no Fourth Amendment rights anymore. It's just one more step. They are moving towards global tyranny, and it's obvious. The media is in lockstep with these Nazis. Most of the churches are in lockstep with these Nazis. The institutions, the businesses, corporations, it's the same. And it's always, always an attack on what is righteous and good, period. And I would be surprised if 60 Minutes had done a neutral piece on it. I wasn't surprised. I'm not. Time Magazine does something on militias. I'm surprised if it doesn't completely malign them. So, yeah, so that was a good piece. It's posted on the, if you go to Stacy's Redneck Husband. Oh, I didn't make that announcement. I changed our Facebook page to Stacy's Redneck Husband instead of Dutch Jones. I think you can still find me if you look for Dutch Jones. It still has my name on there, but it's okay. So, one of the things about the sovereignty movement that Lex Rex, those of you that get that concept, the law is king, not the king is the law. And, of course, the law is the law written on our hearts from our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So you've got people in the sovereign citizen movement. Well, let's go the other way first. You've got people that, when it swings the other way, they obey any law. As long as it's been told to them by somebody of authority, they will obey it. Whether they say raw milk, you know, we got to seize all your raw milk. You're going to go to prison for the rest of your life for selling raw milk. Okay, that's great. You know, I'm glad they're out there enforcing that. People who obey every law, whether it's righteous or not. And then the pendulum swings the other way, where in the sovereign law movement, where I've met rogues that don't believe in any lex or rex. They don't believe that the Lord chooses sovereign kings over us, that no one has authority over them. And we are put here, and there is a hierarchy. You know, there is God, man, family, church, then civil authority. But he will appoint kings over us from time to time that we must obey in a righteous manner, Romans 13. So you've got both ends. You've got people, the majority of people, I would say 80% of the world, that bow down to all authority, false, just, or otherwise. And then you've got people who think they have no authority. Antinomian. The anti-law people, nobody tells me what to do, but yet they want to function in a society that is constructed by laws and framework by laws. You can't have it extremes like that. You can have it by varying degrees. There are laws, there are good laws, just like there are good and bad taxes. Most taxes are evil. So I don't pay the evil taxes. I pay the taxes that are apportioned and, or, you know what I'm saying. My head's not working today. But, it's interesting to me that folks, they think that they have the right to live without any jurisdiction upon them. And those people are wrong just as much as the people think that we should have all jurisdiction upon us. I'm somewhere in the middle, varying degrees. I would never use the term sovereign citizen for myself because the only sovereign is the Son of God. And that's just my view. But if people call themselves sovereigns, I don't freak out and run away. But I start talking to them, if they're like, oh, I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. Well, then you get into the degrees of harming. Okay, so you want to dig a septic system on your property that drains directly into your neighbor's well. That's fine. I can do whatever I want. It's It's my property. I own it. No, you're harming that other man's family by polluting as well. Well, you know, he can move as well. You know, I get people like that all the time. So that's where I am in that. I just can't stand these full-on people that drive around without a license plate on and then act all surprised when they get pulled over. Why provoke the beast like that with those types of things? So I don't get all into that. But I'm not saying it's justified when the police shoot and kill you for not having a license plate either. I think I'm pretty clear on that and the things I've said in the past. But yeah, that sovereign citizen piece was very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. So thank you, Warland, for sending that in. Let's see here. I've notified people that we're on. Here's what I said in one of the comments. Slaves despise free men because it proves the slave is usually a willful participant in his own bondage. I posted that on the 60 Minutes page. Because think about that. Most of the sheep hate people like you and I because we're a symbol of what they're not. And they are angry that they don't want to do anything. They don't want to be part of the solution, but yet they don't want us benefiting from our own actions. So that's why we did that. And I think, you know, that all the stuff going on, you know, I posted that they are marching along at a quickened place, pace. The new Lexington may be on the horizon sooner than we think. And the enemy would do well to remember these words. And I got this quote, and let's see if you guys know who it is. I fear that all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. Let's see if you guys know who said that. Yeah, well, of course you know who it is because you're reading over my shoulder, Lou. See if any of you guys in the chat room know who that is. Yep, I like that. We're separatists, and God is our sovereign. That's what we are. Twinkle Toes put that in there, so that's good. That's what we're doing there. New sign I got from, Lane Lawless that you got that thing about the Black Plague?
Yeah.
What's the Black Plague really called? The Black Plague, Black Death.
I can't pronounce it. It's something.
Bubonic Plague.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. The bubonic plague is turning up in Arizona, which isn't that hard to believe because it's in California already on squirrels. They found it on fleas on squirrels. But they're coming. Yes, that was Admiral Yamamoto. Very good, Warland. Ex-cop gets partial credit for saying someone from Japan, so that's good. So it's more diseases. Anthrax has come across.
Illegals.
All these third world countries they have, and the people are coming in. So bubonic plague is popping up in Arizona.
Flagstaff.
Yeah, Flagstaff. That's pretty far north. But Lane Lawless posted that on her Facebook page. What's the other one? Leprosy. They've been catching people with leprosy that have snuck into the U.S. Tuberculosis, of course, is on the rise. So they're just leaving the porous border open. It's another tool to get us to 500 million people. So that's just the way it goes. Scotty posted something. Let me go back. Scotty always finds good verses. Let's see what he... Hello, Scotty. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Yeah. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. He falls 1,000 times and gets back up. And we just keep doing what we're doing. And the thing of it is it's easy to not take chances and live a bucolic, cow-like, sheep-like life. You know, be fed, everything, but eventually you get led to slaughter. And going back to that thing, that's what people hate us for, is because we are not coming into the trough and eating what they feed us. Let's see, I got a weird one here, and if you have any children listening, I ask you to have them leave the room here. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I don't normally tackle subjects like this, but it's kind of nasty. It deals with a fatwa that was issued by, I think, an Italian imam. As soon as I get it loaded here, it's taking forever to load. But I just want to make sure you get the kids out of the room and anyone sensitive. It's not going to be like graphic. I'm not going to, you know, give you depictions. But a Muslim imam, and as soon as it comes up, I'll give you his location, said that it is okay for the spouse of a dead wife or husband to continue to have sex with a dead corpse. That it is, in fact, halal, meaning kosher, to have sex with a dead body because the bond does not end at death. So a wife or a husband... that is alive can continue to do that. And that is called necrophilia is an acceptable practice in Islam. An imam in Morocco issued a fatwa stating that necrophilia is halal or religiously acceptable practice in Islam. He said that a husband has the right to have sex with his dead wife. The imam, whose name is Zamzami Abuldabari, said that marriage remains valid even after death, which does not cancel the marriage link. He took as evidence a Quranic verse which says that Muslim believers will go to paradise with their wives. Now, Sheikh Zamzami said that the husband has the right to have sex with a dead wife. He added that the husband may wash the body of his dead wife and have sex with her. He said that the woman also has the same right, but failed to explain how a woman can manage to perform sex on the corpse of her dead husband, although there are certain things that occur to the human body that would make that possible. However, Sheikh Zamzami, doesn't it sound like a new cleaning thing?
Yes.
You know, it's like, Zamzami tempered his most unusual fatwa by stating that necrophilia, though halal, is a disgusting act and should best be avoided. But those of you that want to do it, go ahead. Why would they even be discussing this? This is something like the Pope would talk about, you know. That's a sign of a bad religion when your hierarchy of clergy talks about such disgusting things, you know, saying, yeah, it's okay for you to do it. I don't recommend that you do. It's like saying, yeah, sex is a wonderful thing, but we don't want our kids to do it. You know they're going to run right out and do it, and it's kind of creepy. So that was on MoroccoBoard.com, MoroccoBoard.com, which is a news service out of Morocco. And I thank Mikey for sending that in, that lovely story. And I got a bunch of people going, why did you talk about that when I posted it? Great. Don't forget that today at 6 o'clock, we're going to have Steve Klein come in, and he's got a lot to talk about. He's called me a couple times today to tell me about different things that are going on. And what he's looking for is in every community, a minimum of three people to work with him to do these outreaches at public schools to hand out flyers that he's designed to share the truth about Islam, the same kind of stuff that I just talked about. Yeah, high school students can handle it. You ever see what high schools are watching on TV? So that would be good. We're also going to talk a little bit about Syria. And if you haven't noticed, what's going on in Syria is pretty terrible right now. Thousands of people are fleeing across the border. There are different groups that are killing different Muslim groups. And what's funny is that there's much for us here in America to learn from this. If this is how Muslims treat other Muslims, then how shall they treat us, I ask? The fact that no other nation is stepping in as they did in Libya suggests a deeper, more complex New World Order plan than meets the eye here. I need you to think about that before 6 o'clock hour, because nobody's saying anything about the Syrian military literally blockading cities and then going in to slaughter the people that are in there, which are other Muslims. And unfortunately, there's probably a lot of Christians in there, too. I've met some Syrian Christians, and we're going to talk about that. But I did discover that one of the reasons why nobody's saying anything is Syria has an awesome military. They've been funded from both sides of the Soviet U.S. for year, you know, problem for years. So we're kind of leaving them alone. People are saying that Damascus is smelling like the rot of flesh and bodies, and people are coming across the border into refugee camps into Lebanon, riddled with bullets and tortured, and they're telling stories of their whole families being murdered, or their throats slit in the middle of the night. Sounds a lot like the fall of Saigon, doesn't it? But I want you to focus on that. If Muslims treat Muslims this way, literally, what then will they do to us? So I want you to think about that. That's posted on there. 8 killed in Syrian border town. It's actually, when I looked into the numbers, there's thousands, about 5,000 people have been killed since this started. But here's a weird one. We got to look out for exploding watermelons from China. I can't believe, well, of course I can't. Actually, I can believe the story. China, in anything they do, if they use slave labor, they use every chemical in the world, they put toxins in everything from drywall to baby food as filler and fluffer. So they've had a problem with exploding watermelons. Now, it's not what you think. They're not getting here to America and then taking out lives. But watermelons have been bursting by the score in eastern China after farmers gave them an overdose of growth chemicals during wet weather, creating what state media called fields of landmines. About 20 farmers around Danyang, a city in Jiangsu, It sounds like I'm making these names up. Province were affected, losing up to 115 acres of melons. China Central Television said in an investigative report. Now, prices over the past year prompted many farmers to jump into the watermelon market. Who knew? I'm not even going to make any jokes about watermelon here. I don't know. I don't think they're coming to America. I don't know if they would survive the journey. All of those with exploding melons apparently were first-time farmers using the growth accelerator for chlorofurnon. Okay, for chlorofenuron. Okay, I'm going to spell this. F-O-R-C-H-L-O-R-F-E-N-U-R-O-N. Though it has been widely available for some time, the TV report said. Now, Chinese regulations don't forbid the drug, and it's allowed in the U.S. on kiwi and grapes. Isn't that interesting? But the report underscores how farmers in China are abusing both legal and illegal chemicals, with many farms misusing pesticides and fertilizers. Go figure. And as they don't allow people here to grow food, guess where our food's going to be coming from? That's right, China. Now, somebody named Wang Longjibu. How many of these people just name their kids Bob? A professor with the College of Horticulture at Nanjing Agricultural... Oh, wait, that's an American word. Agricultural University, who has been to Danyang since the problems began to occur, said the chemical is safe and effective when used properly. Aren't all things? He told the Associated Press that the drug had been used too late into the season and that recent heavy rain also raised the risk of fruit cracking open. But he said the variety of melons also played a role. It has been used on if it had been used on very young fruit, it wouldn't be a problem. Now, what's funny about this is that it just shows that the greed, the anxiety, they're trying to produce more. People in China are starving, so they're allowing them to use these chemicals. But when they burst, they can't sell them. If you get to them soon enough, I don't think they'll be contaminated, but they're not going to allow them to sell them. So what they're doing is instead they're feeding them to pigs and poultry. So the chemicals are getting into the food chain no matter what. So if you buy any Chinese pork or poultry, which I have never seen, you know, people, you know, we talk about how we're oil dependent on other countries and we don't want to be food dependent. I wouldn't get anything that's canned meat or fruit from China, or any vegetables even if they're growing this. One of the things said that they grow foot-long green beans using this. Isn't that amazing? Foot-long green beans. They said that they grow... Oh, actually, some places, yard-long, three-foot-long green beans. They got caught using it illegally, and they had to destroy 3.5 tons of the vegetable because they didn't want it to get in. Yeah, how much did get in, though? Let's see... I like that, landmines. They're feeding it to pigs, fish, and poultry. Isn't that good? So any fish or anything you get from China, any chicken, goose, pate, you're getting some goose liver that's been fed this. You're part of the food chain over there, of the insanity. So keep an eye on that. I'm getting a bunch of stuff here from some Southern California militias talking about how... And this is really nothing new, that they've taken away the right to declare war. I think the last time I looked it up, because I was talking about this, the United States actually had Congress declare war was like 1942 on Hungary. It was a technicality because, you know, they had sided with the Germans. And up till now, it's been, you know, the State Department and the president just pretty much doing whatever they want since then. You know, Korea was a UN action. Vietnam was UN, maybe NATO, right? I may have that wrong. Police action. And everything else has been, you know, unilaterally just the U.S. doing what it wants to do. Well, there's all this legislation coming through which will give more War Powers Acts to executives. And everybody's getting scared by that, and they think that they're going to declare World War III. Well, my argument for that is, and I appreciate you guys sending it in. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you guys have been sending it to me. And I read through all of it, and it was fascinating, and I'm glad somebody did the research to poke around and find all these bills and who voted what and where. I love it. The fact of it is, World War III is already on us. We're in World War III. They didn't say, you know, December 7th, you know, let's declare World War II. They just declared war on Japan and then Germany and Italy and then obviously later Hungary. But we're in World War III. The historians will label it World War III. I read to you yesterday the list of how many people are all over the world wearing our uniform receiving combat pay. Another thing that I thought about that I didn't say yesterday in that is like it's, it can't be our embassies because we have embassies in 136 nations and there weren't 136 nations on there. So somewhere in Iran right now we have troops on the ground being paid. But think about that. We are in World War III. And they got really good at it because it's the war on terror. They tried the war on drugs, but it just didn't catch. But this war on terror thing is really working out well for them. Today, the United States and Pakistan exchanged fire on one another. Each side saying the other fired first. A helicopter wandered into the demilitarized zone or into Pakistani airspace, and Pakistani soldiers fired on it. I would have too. I can't tell you how many times Mexican aircraft flew over to our side when I was a Minuteman and I wanted to shoot at them, but I didn't. I don't have that authority. But soldiers do. The Pakistani soldiers do. And I'm no friend of Pakistan, but what are American aircraft violating other nations' airspace? It's just like the piracy thing I talked about yesterday. They're continuing to provoke, destroy, annoy. And so we're already at war with Pakistan, basically. Firing on their troops, violating their airspace, invading two nations and unknown other nations that we're not told about, hostilities on the ground, our CIA working behind the scenes to instigate uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East. Don't think for a minute the CIA isn't there with the Muslim Brotherhood provoking these things. We are already engaged in World War III, folks. Our children will probably label it, or our children's children, because I doubt many of us old folks are going to see the end of it, so it's always done in hindsight. Just like they called World War I the Great War, the war to end all wars, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, wars like to have titles, but World War I, World War II, World War III, I think that's just academic. We're already engaged in a world war, and I don't know where it's going to end up. I think is the chat room still going, or did I get bumped out again? Because I don't see anything here. Yeah, I think the chat room's locking up on me because I haven't seen anything for like 15 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, see the... I'm sorry, guys, I can't see the chat room. It's bumping me out. We have extremely overcast conditions here, so the satellite's not doing that great. What do you mean I'm really out?
No, I mean...
Yeah, it's like the chat room's blank. So we're going to take a break here. If Lou can rumble up a song for us on Stronghold Radio, we'll be back, and we're going to continue to talk about more... about some of the things that we discussed yesterday about Indiana's new law. We'll be back after this.
So long, Mom. I'm off to drop the bomb. So don't wait up for me. But while you swelter down there in your shelter, you can watch me on your TV. While we're attacking frontally, watch Brinkley and Huntley describing contrapuntally the cities we have lost. No need for you to miss a minute of the agonizing Holocaust. Little Johnny Jones, he was a U.S. pilot, and no shrinking violet was he. He was mighty proud when World War III was declared. He wasn't scared, no siree. And this is what he said on his way to Armageddon. So long, Mom, I'm off to drop the bomb, so don't wait up for me. But though I may roam, I'll come back to my home, although it may be of debris. Remember, Mommy, I'm off to get a commie, so send me a salami and try to smile somehow. I'll look for you when the war is over, an hour and a half from now.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. a wee bit there. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I didn't give the date. Today is what? The 17th of May, 2011. Well, you know, yesterday Olima got the archive up like in just a few minutes. Yeah, so thank you, Olima. I know you're listening there on the guesty side. We appreciate that. And I was posted. What happens when you post it, Olima, I go and I copy it, and I post it all over the internet. I stick it on everybody else's pages so that people can hear it, and I email it to folks, and the lazy folks that need to listen, and so that's good. So we're just sitting here on a cloudy May day. It's about 50 degrees outside. It's supposed to be about 85 and sunny, so... we're just enjoying a little bit of the ice age coming on us, climate change or whatever it is. I enjoy it. I enjoy it heavily. I am Dutch Jones. To my left is Lou, who punches buttons and hooks everything up. Stacy's on my right. She's my current Rolodex reminder. I'm forgetting a lot of words, and she helps me out there. She hits me in the back of the head with a stick when I lock up. And together we put together the Dutch Jones Show every day. We try to do it every day. Today is a two-hour show. Don't forget to stay tuned in, and we can assure you that Steve Klein will be on at 6 o'clock. X-Cop saying, why aren't archives on Dutch site? They are. They're right below. If you're on DutchJones.info, if you look right below the chat box, big word says archive. Now, if you're on Ustream, there are archives there too, right, Lou?
Yeah.
So, Tehear, are you speaking like Navajo now? Tehear, eh, naha, hanishima, naha, nehe, na. Yata, hey. That's not Dutch, you're Jewish. No, that was Navajo. I just. Yeah, Hebrew Navajo, I just threw at you. No, Hebrew Navajo would be. Kapahe, naha, shanikama, nahe, nehe, ha, nahe, nishina. You gotta put the in there.
Controlled vomiting.
Yeah, controlled vomiting is German and Hebrew and all those lovely non-romance languages. Remember I told you guys a little bit yesterday, and hopefully you were infuriated by the story of what Indiana is doing. Ooh, Mom's phone is ringing. That's a good sign. Let's see here. Let me switch over. And that Indiana is pretty much saying the Fourth Amendment rights don't exist, yada, yada, yada. Well, the county, there's a county sheriff there that's saying, we'll just randomly search any house we want. Now, that's great. We have, you know, we can do whatever we want. Let me find this guy's ugly mug here and give you his name. If we have any listeners in Indiana, you need to, okay. It says, if we need to conduct house-to-house random searches to catch criminals, we will. Is everything okay, Lou? You're leaning way off to one side like something weird happened. Oh, there you go. Lee's posting the archives link. Thank you so very much. It's as this begins to load. So sheriffs are going to run with this. Now that they got this court decision, until it's either overruled or reaffirmed, they're going to run with it. Crown Point, Indiana. According to Newton County Sheriff Don Hartman Sr., random house-to-house searches are now possible and could be helpful in following the Barnes versus State Indiana Supreme Court ruling issued on May 12th. When asked three separate times due to the astounding callousness as it relates to trampling the inherent natural rights of Americans, he emphatically indicated that he would use random house-to-house checks, adding he felt people will welcome random searches if it means capturing a criminal. Oh, yeah, the good citizens. Speaking under the condition of anonymity, a local city police chief with 30 years of experience in law enforcement directly contradicted the Newton County Sheriff's blatant disregard for privacy and liberty, stating that as an American first, such an action is unconscionable, and that, wow, I can't believe I got that word right, and that his allegiance is to the Indiana and federal constitutions respectively. However, he also concurred that the ruling does not allow for police to randomly search homes should the... Oh, does now... Okay, let me try that again. He also concurred that the ruling does, in fact, now allow for police to randomly search homes should a department be under order by state or federal officials or under a department's own record. At this time, we are still awaiting comments from several state attorneys. However, the spokesman for the Indiana Attorney General took umbrage at what he referred to as large assumptions regarding police power and at this time had no comment. He did, however, indicate that should the Indiana Attorney General Greg Zoeller feel it necessary to make a statement, that this reporter would be included in the distribution of the release. So they're trying to. These guys are all running now, and you got to remember this is Barnes versus the state of Indiana, and that's number 82S05-1007. I'm just going to put it in the room for you guys to look it up. You're not going to believe me at all. So I'm going to put it in there. Why should I read it to you? And it's scary because he's right. Most people would go, yeah, that's great. It's wonderful. Yeah, let the cops in. Just like people go, well, if you got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? Well, I don't even know what I have to hide because they keep changing the laws so much. I may have a high-flow toilet, and they come in and see that, and they may arrest me for, you know, crimes against the earth or something. I remember one time I made a drastic mistake. I just got home from the Army. I was sitting in my apartment at about, what's wrong? The dog.
I'll tell you on the
phone. At about 6:30 in the morning, I get a knock at the door. I look out, it's a sheriff. Well, I'm a military policeman. I'm like, hang on. Throw on my robe, let him in. I go, can I help you? And he's like, Dutch Jones? And I go, yes. He goes, I have a warrant here for your arrest. And I go, really? That's kind of funny. He goes, why do you say that? And I said, well, I'm actually a military policeman, and I'm home on leave. And he says, well, I have a warrant for your arrest. You've been wanted in conjunction with like 7 or 8 burglaries in Denver over the last 3 years. I go, well, that's even funnier because I've been in Virginia and Panama the last 3 years. Well, you need to come with me, you know. And he was cool. He didn't want to hook me up or anything. He says, you want to go get dressed? And I went, yeah. And I woke up my wife, said, hey, there's some sheriff out there that says I'm wanted. You know, I don't know what they're talking about. So I come out, and he's standing there holding one of my rifles. He took it out of my gun rack that was on the wall. And he goes, this looks a little suspicious. You mind if I take it with me? I go, yeah, that's like a 1939 Mosin Nagant. It doesn't work. I was taking it apart for parts. And what do you mean it looks suspicious? I don't think this barrel is long enough. Well, I get down there. They find out it's not me. In fact, the guy they were looking for was an African-American that had the same name as me. Of course, I wasn't using the name Dutch Jones back then. I was using another name. My real name is Rastus McGillicuddy, so there was a black guy with that name. And anyway, so once they realize that, and I'm getting ready to leave, they go, oh, wait a minute, we need you to come in here. And they held me on federal charges for having an illegal rifle. I go, what do you mean, having an illegal rifle? I go, that barrel is 18 and a half inches long, because I had made a carbine out of it. And he goes, oh, no, the overall length. The overall length has to be, and he gave me some number. So I was in jail for a few hours. I had to get out, and I fought it, and I got clean. But because I let him in, it's like letting a vampire in. I let him sit in my living room. I learned my lesson. As a 21-year-old young man, I said, I'll never let a cop in my front door again, and I won't. And I asked you not to. I mean, they can come in for any reason. No. I'm going to lock, you know, Katie bar the door. There is no way in the world I'm going to let a vampire in. Because once you let them in, they can do whatever they want. And we have to be... See, I'm locked up again on here. I can't see. But it's important that you realize that they're going to... Not only will they take... So now they have the right, without a search warrant, there's no longer a Fourth Amendment in the United States, according to this decision. And they can do what they want. They're going to do it even farther, because now they can get away with that. What's the difference between them coming in and just planting stuff? Well, now that we have the right to search houses randomly to look for criminal activity, and we know this guy is cheating on his taxes, but we can't prove it, let's just throw some marijuana on the floor when we get in there. Yeah, we're justified, because the court's already backed us up this far. They've already suspended the Fourth Amendment. Why not this? We know he's guilty of something. He's one of them patriot folks. He's got to be guilty. Sure, we didn't find illegal weapons. Let's put one in there. Let's drop this automatic sear on his coffee table. And go, oh, look. You can't tell me that that's not going to happen with the number of bad cops on the force these days. The number of executive officers in states pushing, you know, and I'm talking about attorney generals and things, pushing to quell patriotic movements. Yeah, well, and say, no way will a cop ever be invited into my home. No, never. Even when I was a cop, I didn't want my guys coming over. You know, I just, it's like, I don't trust them. You never know. I may have a painting on the wall that turns out to be stolen or something. And it's just, it's ridiculous. There's no way I can know what they're going to do. And the number of cops that I've hung out with, I don't trust them. I definitely do not trust them at all. But we've got to keep our eyes open on this one. And I put it in the chat room there. I put the link to the law. It's a PDF in there. And you've got to check it out, folks. Don't leave it up to me to do all this research. You guys need to find it, and you need to find ways to fight this. You need to contact your state attorney generals and go, do you agree with this Indiana decision? I think you're full of crap if you do. Sorry about the language there, but that's exactly how I feel. You need to put your politicians on notice that if you let our judiciary go down this path, I'm holding you accountable. We've got to reel in this bizarre rogue judiciary that thinks that they can just destroy the Constitution on whim. I mean, in California, they're deciding things like you can teach sodomite lifestyles to children in schools now, and it's being upheld. In courts, people have fought these different laws, Bill 777 and all that kind of thing. Well, and it will get to the point you can't have anyone over, ex-cop says. You know what? Yeah. It'll get to the point where they've operated, you know, they've set up their Gestapo collection net. The Hitler Youth will be out. You can't have your children's friends come over. I mean, that was one of my biggest concerns when I had a kid. It's like, oh, great, now I have a kid. If she brings her friends over, I got to put all my guns away. You know? And it's bad enough that, you know, I have to train my kids, especially my daughter who goes to public school. Do they ever ask you if your daddy has guns? Yeah, what do you tell them? No, he's afraid of guns. I got to keep training them. Guns are bad. They go to the doctors. They drill their minds. You can't even go to the doctor now. You go to the doctor, they're going to try and find out what you're doing. Folks... keep fighting this good fight. Keep telling these people we're not gonna stand for this. And just oh great, where did I go here? I think I lost my no, I didn't. So hang on, guys. Here while I bounce around here. So that's Indiana does affect us. Case law is important. And realize that in reality this is just cutting off loose ends, tying up loose ends, whatever analogy you want to use, because we already have the Patriot Act and they're going to extend it. Patriot Act pretty much gets rid of all this stuff too, and it's scary and sad, and you just got to make sure that nobody around you gets away with it. Another thing that I wanted to talk about that is not that important, but I woke up to it this morning. Arnold Schwarzenegger admitted today that he had a love child with a member of his house staff 10 years ago, at least 10 years ago, and that's why his wife's walked out on him. And it's not, I could care less about the celebrity of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the fact that he was a socialist claiming to be a Republican and stole the vote away from Tom McClintock, who was a righteous, conservative, Christian guy, to be governor of California. But the point of it is that in the news we're going to see more of this deviation and sexual perversion being exposed. They're doing a house cleaning in the New World Order. They're getting rid, and when I say getting rid of loose ends, they're doing it with their own people. This IMF director, it turns out that he's got a history of this. And they're hanging him out to dry. Schwarzenegger's being hung out to dry. Although, if he had been a Democrat, this would be part of his resume to be president if they ever changed the Constitution. But we're going to see a lot more of this. We're going to see more celebrity politicians taken off the roster because they're cleaning house. They want to get their control panels down, their committees down to just the few. So they're going to start throwing skeletons out of closets. There'll be more politicians along these lines. We'll see more cases of people throwing themselves on their swords. That's what Schwarzenegger's doing. He didn't get dragged, kicking and screaming like this French guy was. Khan or whatever his name was, Han. I can't remember his name. But people are going to come out and say, oh, I'm unfit to run. We saw yesterday, I think it was... Trump said he wasn't going to run. He did his job. He made Obongo look good. Embarrassed the birthers, didn't he? And now he disappeared and he threw himself on his sword. He's going to be a good little lackey. Who was the other one? Huckabee stepped down. They're starting to tighten up the team. Because it doesn't matter who gets elected. Remember during the last election, I told you 6 months from now, let's look to see how much everything's changed now that all your Tea Party people are in? Uh-huh. Was I right or was I right? I guess I was right. But I'm not going to gloat in it. It's just I know nothing's going to change in the ballot box. And they're going to start jettisoning certain people to focus it. You know, everybody's all excited that Ron Paul's going to run. As long as he keeps running as a Republican, he's not going to amount to anything in my eyes. If he were to run as a constitutionalist, I'd back him. Now, I'm not backing. It's not that I'm choosing to ignore him because he's not going to win. It's that he's running for an illegal party, as far as I'm concerned. And it's strange to me that everybody's getting excited about him again. You know, he ran as a libertarian, as a Republican, and it didn't work. He needs to run as a constitutionalist. and get that backing, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't. If you know, if he's the only one that's up there, I will vote for him because right now, out of everybody that I've seen, he's the most righteous. I don't think Baldwin may run for governor or congressman or senator of Montana, which, you know, God bless him. I'm sorry to see. You know, I wish I was there. I wish that we had somebody like that in California that we could vote for. McClintock's here. He's representing us on the federal level, but he's in a county way north of here. Let's see. Ex-cop says Obongo and Emmanuel both have lifetime memberships with Chicago Gay Men's Club. Yeah. Emmanuel, Rahm Emanuel is now, what is he, mayor of Chicago now? So he's head boss in charge. He's head of the mafia families in Chicago for right now. I can't believe the dailies ever stopped being controlled. They're probably still behind the scenes. But, yeah, Obongo, all that stuff. Maybe they'll jettison Obongo on him being a sodomite, too. That's why, you know, I've always wondered why they allow this stuff to be leaked. Well, it's because if they need it later, they can amplify it, inflate it, and get rid of these people. And then the people that we don't even know their names that are really in charge, honestly. You know, it's not really the Queen of Denmark. It's somebody who's pushing her buttons. Yeah, IC Freedom's put his finger right on it. This is my biggest problem. I should have said it. I strayed too far. Ron Paul still does not show his stand on abortion or sodomites. I've written him personally. I've written to his pastor in Texas and said, you know, what are you teaching Ron Paul that he won't make a stand on these things? And he still says that it's a private matter for abortion and that he won't speak out against sodomites. Somebody's border guarding just got in and says she can't hear anything. See if somebody can help her out there. So we do what we do, and we wait for God to put good leaders in front of us. But I think, and this is where I differ with the pastor, and you'll maybe hear this. I don't think we're going to have a show Thursday or Friday because we're doing training. But I don't think the federal level is the answer anymore. I'm barely willing to work for state-level leadership. To me, it's county level. And now if I were to go to Montana, I probably would just go to Kalispell and work with Chuck Baldwin there. Because I think he's righteous from what I know of him and what I've read of his and when he spoke here at our church, which I can't believe you guys missed that. That was such an awesome conference, probably the last one of that type ever. And I told you that. It's probably going to be the last time we got to assemble with those kind of leaders. But as we get into all the different topics here, the real thing, it really comes down to we're not picking righteous leaders at the local level. Now, granted, you know, I'm not going to run for mayor. I'm not going to run for anything because I can't. I'm an outlaw by their standards, not by what I've done, but by what they've done. But God stand behind me on this statement. If someone rises up in this community that I think would make a good mayor or something, and we had an election and we became a community, like if the pastor ran for mayor, I'd support him. Whether he had a chance in Hades or not, I still would support him because the cause is righteous. And, you know, man supposes, God disposes, and I'm going to continue with that concept. I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that my actions are coram deo. And I just don't see that happen at the federal level. Anyway, they're going to be cleaning house. They're going to be throwing people out of office. They're going to be exposing people that they think may be weak links. So many things are hard to say now after the stroke. And I just think it's going to be interesting to see where they come from, what things are going to fly out of the closets now, what photos that they thought would never be exposed will be put out. Just keep an eye on it and send me stuff if you find stuff, especially on your local level and your state levels. Sometimes it's things that happen on the local level that are the most important. If you want to call in, Border Guardian, we've got about 10 minutes if you want to call in and give us an update on what's going on. We've got about 10 minutes to fill if you want to call in. I'm taking calls on anything as usual. 6 o'clock, we're going to switch over to Code 20, but if you want to call in right now... If we can get some volume of local righteous leadership, there is hope. Yeah, that's what I believe. IC Freedom posted that. We need to turn back to the city-state level almost. And I don't mean city-state, you know, city of Fresno, state of California. I mean a city-state where a city is the state. and we function and we do trade and we protect ourselves against other city-states, and then we make alliances with those city-states that are reasonable, trade with all nations, treaties with none. Okay, let me turn this up here. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good, good, good. You called in at a perfect time. You got about 9 minutes. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. This is Lane Lawless. I just wanted to talk about the bullet in Bush's leg, in Jason Bush's leg. As you're probably aware, Jason Bush, Shauna Ford, and Albert Gagliola were all arrested for the massacre in Arivaca.
Mm-hmm.
They're all three co-defendants, although they're being tried separately. And it seems like the information in their trials should all be the same, but it's not. The witnesses are exaggerating. They're lying even more. They're embellishing. They're embroidering. They're telling whoppers. I've been reading the transcripts now that they've become available, although I wasn't allowed to be at the trials, and I'm sure there's a good reason for that. It's not because I was a potential witness. It's because I'm a squealer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call them on their crap. And if I'd been sitting there, I would have called them on their crap earlier. Now, many people were led to believe by newspaper reports that Jason Bush was taken to a hospital. You know, he received a bullet wound supposedly mm-hmm. during the home invasion. You know that, right?
Sure. That's the, yeah.
In his leg. And it was never described exactly what kind of treatment he got at the hospital. Well, you know, what happened is he was probably in a lot of pain when the detectives got to him 12 days after he'd been shot. And I think that they used his pain against him. In other words, they coerced an involuntary confession from him, and that should have never been used for anything.
Yeah.
I can imagine what they did is they said, oh, yes, Jason, you just tell us what we want to hear. You implicate these people and tell us you did the shooting, and then we'll take you and you'll get treatment. So he gave them the confession they wanted. It was pages and pages and pages of him saying, no, 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 I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. And finally, I haven't gotten to read it yet, but I'm sure I will. Probably in the last 10 pages was when he implicated other people and admitted mm-hmm. he did it. And it's an 89-page confession. So they took him to the hospital, and the doctor said, oh, I want to extract those bullet fragments. And Jason said, yes, please do. Ow. And the doctor said, yes, and I'd like to do a skin graft because you've got a hole in your leg. You know, I want it to, you know, want it to heal up well. So Pima County detectives called one of their doctors from the jail who said, oh, a little lead isn't going to hurt him. We'll just leave it in his leg. Let's take him down to Pima County now. That's exactly what happened. And throughout both trials, Shauna Ford's trial and Jason Bush's trial, they implied that Gina Gonzalez, the surviving witness who was wounded herself in the home invasion, they implied that she had shot Jason Bush. Well, there's a little problem with that. There are several problems with that. Number one, all the bullets have been accounted for, whether they came from the .45 that was used to shoot the people who were slain and mm-hmm. to wound Gina Gonzalez. And her gun was a .40 caliber, and she only shot two rounds. There were only two cases found on the floor.
Okay.
And both those bullets had been accounted for. So, okay.
Who shot them?
If all these bullets had been accounted for, why didn't they take the bullet out of Jason's leg? Are they sure it came from her gun? They're implying that it did.
Now, I thought Jason had claimed that he was shot on the border by bandits or something also in his initial story.
Yes, he did, and Shauna Ford backed up his story. So I don't know for a fact that that didn't happen, but it was just assumed, oh, they were lying because Jason was supposedly wounded in the fight. Well, here's another little problem. You know, they talked a lot about DNA linking Jason Bush with the crime scene and all that stuff because there were two pools of blood, and there was a trail of blood outside the house leading to the road, and that blood has been linked with Jason Bush's DNA, and there were a pair of shoes that were found, I believe, in Albert Gagliola's outside shed that had blood on the outside of them, and they were linked to Jason Bush's DNA. Now, here's the weird thing. none of Jason Bush's blood was found in the house in the kill zone.
Just outside.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, what would you think, Dutch? If somebody shot inside the house, wouldn't there be some blood spatter?
Yeah, see, I look back at it. This sounds like, you know, and I don't want to sound, you know, Johnny Cochran-like, but it sounds like somebody took his blood and just spread it around the outside of the crime scene. You know, I hate to go there, but it sounds, you know, none in the house, because, you know, afterwards, the, you know, it's a little easier to do it outside. And he was in the hospital, and they could have got his blood there.
Oh, yeah, they could have gotten tons of it.
But that's just me, Mr. Conspiracy, so.
I just don't know. There's so many irregular things about these trials, and the third one's coming up June 1st, and what I'm planning on doing is filing a motion with the Superior Court in Pima County as soon as I can figure out the right format and who to sue, because I want to be led into the third trial. I don't want to I don't want to be held in abeyance because I might be a witness. Well, mm-hmm. I wasn't a witness in Shauna Ford's or Jason Bush's trial, and there's no reason to think that I have anything worth hearing for either side in Albert's trial.
Right.
I can't see that happening, but they don't want me to attend the trial. I told them they should take me off the witness list. It would give them an opportunity to be the better Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't go for that, so that is just very weird. It's just so weird that Jason Bush has still got bullet fragments in his leg. He wanted them taken out to prove that he wasn't there, because whatever gun shot him, it wasn't Gina Gonzalez, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, people are going, well, how are they going to do ballistics? Well, they can do metallurgy and see if it's consistent with the bullets that were fired from Gonzalez's gun. And
right.
If his story is true, that he did have a, you know, and we find out that he was coerced into confessing, and he was probably under medication while he was giving the confession for pain drugs, which is illegal. But then they can just say, well, it's some unknown gun, and his story on the border kind of sounds good. But now they've got him in their clutches. They can do whatever they want to him. Him recanting that confession is probably not going to happen. But it's scary stuff, and it's just like everything else. If they don't want it to look fishy, why are they conducting themselves in such a bizarre manner, the prosecution? Why aren't they checking that round?
Even if Jason Bush was drunk, let's say he couldn't get any pain pills and he was drinking a lot of alcohol that day, the day he was arrested with the infected bullet wound, the rules of evidence say very clearly that if a person is under the influence of chemicals, their mm-hmm. confession is coerced, is involuntary, and therefore is not valid, is not admissible as evidence in the court of law. You see, Pima County has access to the same materials that I have, and probably 1,000 times more, but they don't. They break the law in Pima County all the time.
Yeah, we see that. They just murdered that American soldier, came to his home for no reason at all. They haven't been able to clarify on a drug raid, and they killed him, shot him in his own home. And they're not even saying they went to the wrong house. They're just saying we got a narcotics call, although we don't know where it initiated from. So Pima County is notorious for this type of thing.
Oh, and I've been reading some materials that indicate they would like to secede from the state of Arizona, and I say good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah, let the drug lords take them over and see what happens to them now, all these leaders down there that are taking the bribes.
Well, I know that we're rattling some cages down there because Puta Kim Smith, who works for the Arizona Daily Star, you know, we call her Puta Kim because
yeah.
she's such a you-know-what for the establishment.
Yeah.
She even mentioned something about Gina Gonzalez's bullet grazed Jason Bush's leg. That's what she put in her article when he was sentenced and given 78 years. And and she's never mentioned anything about that before.
Sure.
You know, this is the first time. So we are rattling some cages down there.
Well, hopefully we'll see our names on the Daily Beast again soon. Well, Lane, thank you for calling in. We got a break here.
It's been a pleasure, Dad.
And as always, I'm glad your computer's back up and running.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, thank you for calling in. And we will take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to have Steve Klein from Code 20, and he's going to tell us what he wants us to do and what he's doing. I can't answer that phone.
We'll be back right after this.
Hear the sobs of crying children dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers watch the blood fall from their heads.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Not for them, a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world, a truth will echo. Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is silly in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear and never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hit for you geniuses out there.
A brain! It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention! Attention! This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
catch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome once again to Stronghold Radio via many outlets. I welcome our Liberty Tree radio listeners, our pod people, our folks listening on Militia Radio, Watchtower. Watchtower. I do that every time. We're Jehovah's Witness Radio now. No, Watchman Radio and those types of things. It is Tuesday, the 17th of May, 2011. This is a live show if you're listening on or about 6:03 p.m. Pacific time. And that means one cool thing. On the phone with us from Code 20, AbolishIslam.com, AlterOrAbolish.com, we have the Christian warrior himself, Steve Klein. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for that. Very kind introduction, yes. Code 20, we infiltrated the Muslim Brotherhood with 12 government agencies from city, county, state, federal, the commander in charge of anti-terrorism for the Los Angeles Police Department quoted and quote said, yes, there's two different kinds of the Muslim Brotherhood. There's the good Muslim Brotherhood and the bad Muslim Brotherhood. The we worked with a good Muslim Brotherhood to the six of us who had infiltrated, and we got it on television and audio with high quality in our documentary. So we had a great, great Sunday in downtown Los Angeles, Code 20.
Now, what was the event? Was it some outreach that they were normally doing that you crashed, or what was it?
That's a great question. We have a gal who actually works with Code 20, and she was found at so many different events and Terrace Festival and Garden Grove, different terrorist activities in the Southern California area, and she found a deal for the Islamic Society off of Vermont and Wilshire in the upscale area of Los Angeles. In fact, right behind this mosque was the Red Chinese consulate. Kind of spooky when I drove by, and yeah, it was really spooky. They got the red flag. I think it's got five gold stars on it. So I'm driving by and I about flipped out because, you know, I'm going back to Vietnam and everything. So, but anyways, what was going on was these 12 agencies, the LAPD, FBI, Homeland Security, California Emergency Management Administration, California Department of Justice, Federal Department of Justice, United States Attorney Office, Los Angeles Fire Department, Sheriff, ICE, TSA, and the LA Human Rights Commissions were all coming for a love fest, kumbaya, and all these guys. I go walking into this Islamic center we went in just like you did it when you crashed the party with the Muslim Brotherhood there in Central Valley. We parked in different places, came at probably about 30 seconds to a minute intervals. And we all had our poker faces on, went and sat down, and then our TV crew walked in. It's kind of funny. I saw the TV crew outside, and I said, hey, I'll bet you $5,000 there's no way in Hades you're going to get that gear inside.
Oh, no.
Well, when it was all over, I said, I hope you guys take IOUs and stuff. They were all laughing at me, but we got some absolutely great footage. And no kidding, this guy's a deputy police chief for Los Angeles, and his job title is he's the commander in charge of counterterrorism for all of Los Angeles City, which is obviously gigantic. And all of these people were so in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood. And then the guy admitted, he came out in public and said, yes, we work with the Muslim Brotherhood, but these are the good Muslim Brotherhood. So before I turn it over to you, the Muslim Brotherhood logo, you can go online and look at it. It's got two cross swords, and underneath it in Arabic, it's got the same words mean two different things. It's a command to the Muslim Brotherhood, which says, prepare to attack and kill the infidel. And for the infidel, it means prepare to be attacked and killed by the Muslim Brotherhood, which in Arabic is the Ikhwan Muslimin. So we had a great Code 20. And also our high school outreaches has grown significantly. So now our high school outreaches, all of a sudden we've got people doing it in Orange County, Riverside County, San Diego County, Tulare County, and also we're going to be in Oakland and the Santa Barbara area. This thing is growing insane. And Florida, good people, Code 20, in fact, the guys I was with in Los Angeles are from Florida. And they used to get angry with me. I used to do radio jihad. I was a military analyst, and I would continually say, as long as in the mop-up phase, we got to go to Code 20, we got to go to cell warfare. Well, they didn't like that, but after what they were there and saw it Sunday, and they had already moved into cell warfare about a month and a half ago, they finally admitted, we're in big trouble. We got to start working as cells. And then they heard all 12 of these governmental agencies say, oh, yeah, we work with the Muslim Brotherhood. And as we walked out, they all said, you're right, we're cooked. They're in the mop-up phase, so I'll shut up and let you take over.
Well, some pretty interesting things that I've noticed today related to what you're talking about. I sent you that one story where that Moroccan imam, if that's the right way to pronounce it, gave a fatwa that it's okay to perform necrophilia with your dead spouse. It's halal now. Did you get that article?
Yeah, I've got that. In fact, I looked it up. It's in the hadith. It's for those of you, I know you're all interested in writing this down, but I'll read it. It says, necrophiliac prophet, and then this is from my friend Abdullah al-Arabi, which means the Arabian son of God, and he and I have been working together for years. He gave me his book called The Perfect Man. Quote, the messenger of Allah, which is Muhammad, the messenger of Allah took off his shirt and put it on Umm Ali, who's dead, and slept with her in her grave, which means he had intercourse with her while she was dead. He's a necrophiliac. And it's from the Hadith. The Hadith is Kanz, K-A-N-Z, Al Umal, which would be Al Umal about this chick, who he is having sex with. And it's number 37611.
Wow.
And then he's got it in Arabic. This is a great book. It's an expensive book because it's got English and Arabic, and then it shows you the website where to go on for the Muslim scholars in Saudi Arabia. These morons posted in Arabic over in Saudi Arabia. So these guys, their native language is Arabic. So they go in, look at it. Abdullah Al-Arabi, real nice man. I know him really well. I've been on speaking engagements and done outreaches with him. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I just read the proof, and we can read that several times through the course of the show. So we've also got proof that he was a queer.
Yeah.
And that he was a transvestite, too, and we've got all the proof on that stuff. And these are really good things. When we were doing the patch, remember we had that big deal where we were in Murrieta and Temecula, mm-hmm. and then somehow it got into that newspaper, the internet newspaper called Patch.
Right.
I was using this book and another book proving that Muhammad had sex. Before I go on, if you have little kids or young kids, get them out of the room because I'm going to quote some stuff that's pretty nasty. So maybe we'll count it down. Maybe in 60 seconds or so, I'll actually quote
sure.
what Muhammad did with his six-year-old wife. So, Stacy, you be counting down. I know you don't want. It's a little bit graphic, too graphic for Lou. Also, I think.
Yeah. And this goes back to the PMS. Of Islam, and why don't you spend 60 seconds explaining that so they can get the kids out of the room?
Yeah, PMS, real easy. Military always, put stuff in the acronym so you don't forget. PMS, power, money, and sex. Muhammad built his army by promising all of the guys who joined on board PMS, power, money, and sex. So power, he was going to make them all officers in the military, power, and then power, money, he was going to give them all the money from stealing everything, and then sex. He's got, you're going to have temporary wives, girls, one day old, babies one day old. We're going to be reading that in about 30 seconds or so. So the power, money, and sex, then Islam is also RPM, religious, political, and military, and it's MPH, Muslims per host. So when Muslims, as Peter Hammond proves very well in his YouTube, when the Muslims hit 1%, 5%, 10%, when they hit 20% of the population, they declare war on the general population, which it goes from PMS, RPM, MPH to DAMN, D-A-M-N, deport all Muslims now, because if you're going to war with somebody, you're going to deport them. So if you got illegal aliens in your backyard or Japanese and Italians in World War II, when you go to war, you're going to shove them out, deport all Muslims now. Okay, so
we're clear now.
Okay, mm-hmm. Muhammad practiced sex with six-year-old Aisha by pressing his organ, his penis, between its eyes, and it has widely spread until now between Arabic youth. Saudi Arabia scholars attest and do not deny this. This is found in Hadith 1421/5/7, and it's actually a website from Saudi Arabia where there's Saudi Arabian scholars. Now, Saudi Arabia is to Islam with their fatwas and their interpretation of Islam like the Vatican is for the Roman Catholic.
Sure.
So once again, it's pretty graphic, but this works really good because when you want to expose Islam, if you get hung up on arguing the Bible's good and the Quran's bad and stuff like that, you're going to get your butt handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just go to real easy warfare, reduce the simplest terms, just use these two differences. What would Jesus, what would Muhammad do? So whenever we get into a discussion with the Muslims and they start talking about all these crazy things, they go, hey, look, we make mistakes. We can correct them because we go back to Jesus. But you go back to Muhammad, and what did Muhammad do? Quote, Muhammad practiced sex with six-year-old Aisha by pressing his penis between her thighs, and it is widely spread until now between Arabic youth. Saudi Arabia scholars attest and do not deny that. And then underneath it is all of the Arabic. So when I go out, I carry this book with me, and I just hand it over to the Muslims and watch them just go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to Larry Wood training, because when they try to beat me and Dutch up, it ain't going to work.
Yes, yes, yes. I was just on the phone with Larry today a couple times, and looking forward to it. We got like 23 or 24 people signed up now, and everything's going really good for
awesome.
That. So, yeah, when you're
awesome.
Sharing this kind of truth in the face of terrorists, things are going to get ugly, or they could get ugly, and it's always good to know how to know yourself. So, know how to defend yourself, rather. I omitted a word there. But, hey, you got to know yourself, too. Some of the other things that have been popping up, if it's okay, I'm just going to jump around with you today, Steve, because I've been reading a lot on Islam today. Is Pakistan our friend or not? We just had one of our aircraft wander into their airspace, and then they tried to shoot it down, and we killed two of their soldiers. What's going on? I mean, I kind of know what you're going to say, but I'm going to couch the question that way. What's up with Pakistan, and why is our government acting the way it is towards Pakistan?
Yeah, exactly. Remember that Islam has no national status as far as we do. They do in a restricted sense, but as far as when they evangelize, they don't evangelize by nations. They evangelize to take over the whole world. And remember, Muslims always stick together. We showed that. I think you've seen the YouTube with Anjam Chaudhary when they were interviewing him on BBC, and they asked, well, now they just blew up the trains there in London, and you're saying that all of the people they killed were guilty, and you would always side with the Muslims. And he said, of course, I must. I have to. It's Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
Sharia says I have to support my Muslim brothers, and so they're not murdering, you know, and that's when they come back. We're kafirs. We're infidels. We're apes and pigs, and we're subhuman Untermensch in the German. And so when Pakistan does what they're doing, you know, they hit Osama bin Laden for all that time. And when they're merely defending themselves, just like when they raped that Laura Logan with CBS in Egypt.
Yeah,
she's the perp. She's the perpetrator, and the Muslims who raped her are the good guys. That's how justice works.
They're meeting out
in
justice.
Islam.
Yep.
They're meeting out justice, yeah. So when the Pakistanis are doing what they're doing, here's what they're doing. They're taking all of our money, all of our resources, all of our weapons, all of our technology, all of our men, all of our money, all of our money, all of our money, and all of our money. And then when things get a little dicey, and just like the Wizard of Oz getting the curtain pulled back, the true face of Islam is exposed. We're there no matter where we go. When you went into that Muslim event in Central Valley, and when my guys went into that mosque in Los Angeles, We are subhumans. Now, the only reason they were nice to us is because we had audio and video cameras, and frankly, you caught those dirtbags with their pants down, which after reading what I just read, they got to, well, that's pretty, I was getting a little bit silly.
That's too far to go on that. Well,
I was a little bit too crazy on that.
They are a perverse, faith system, so
Yeah. The true face of Islam is they can murder you, they can rape you, they can steal your money, and actually they, and that taqiyya through lying, they get extra brownie points so that if, when they die, the only way they know for sure they're getting into paradise is if they're killed in jihad.
Right.
So those who don't die in jihad, the chicken Muslims, chicken Muslims, they don't know if they're going to paradise. Unless they die in jihad, but the chickens, so they got to come up with extra brownie points, and huge brownie points is for the Muslim to get away with lying. I think the Muslim Brotherhood is doing it to those 12 different governmental agencies, including the commander of anti-terrorism, and the guy is so stupid. Thank God we had the camera there. He started to get red in the face. You know, he's a WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. He's no longer a Protestant. He's just a lackey, a tool for the making $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
He was so uncomfortable trying to answer the question. I was watching him, and I could sense in his head he's thinking, how am I going to keep my job? How am I going to keep my $25,000 a month? How am I going to get a promotion out of this? How am I going to take over Homeland Security? I got to answer the right way. Everything was politically correct.
How am I going to walk this tight line and not embarrass my higher-ups?
Yeah, he could care less about patriotism.
Well, maybe that's what's going on with Pakistan. I mean, our State Department, our Pentagon has to know that they are a host country for terrorism, but they just they can't speak the unspeakable words. They can't tell the emperor he's naked, and they have to just keep playing with him. So there's soldiers, you know. And granted, it is offensive that our helicopter did enter their airspace. I don't like the fact that we've become a bully in the world, where we're just flying into any other country we want to. But it's bizarre to me that we continue to feed them funds, military equipment, and at the same time, there's a concern. Remember that helicopter that went down during the supposed assassination of Bin Laden? It was a new helicopter that had never been used. They've been holding on to it, and they've been letting the Chinese look at it, but nobody's talking about that. These are supposed to be our allies, and they haven't given us back our down chopper yet, and the Chinese have been checking it out.
Yeah, they did the same thing. The Chinese did the same thing in Suvi when they shot down the F-117, the stealth bomber. It was the Chinese came in and got it, and then we shot a smart bomb and blew it up. In the embassy, there was pretty crazy. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, Islam, we've been talking about this, and it keeps coming back. Who's in charge here? Is the New World Order in charge of Islam? Is Islam in charge of the New World Order? I was listening to a guy the other day on Pastor Butch. I don't know if you ever listened to him. He's a nice guy. I like the guy.
Okay.
But it was interesting. He said they were talking about the New World Order and how much influence they have. And so this Pastor Butch said, well, name the names of the people in the New World Order. And so Bilderberger, Rothschild, he went down through all of the lists, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, what about the Saudi Arabian royal family? I didn't hear them listed.
Yeah.
United Arab Emirates, all of the rich Muslims who now own all of those major banks that used to belong to the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers. So as this thing keeps unfolding with Pakistan, Islam shares power with no one. It is under Satan. The New World Order is under Satan, too. We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims, they got 1.5 billion people in New World Order, maybe 1.5 million, 15 million, all right? 1.5 billion is, what, over 1,000 times bigger than 1.5 million. The Saudi Arabians, the Muslims, probably have $120 trillion or more in assets with the price of gasoline going up, mm-hmm. and the New World Order maybe $120 billion. And then the Muslims have been around for 1,400 years, and the New World Order maybe about 400 years. But I was stunned at listening to this fellow saying the New World Order is commanding the Muslims, and the New World Order is in charge of the Muslims, and I'm listening going, you haven't named off the Saudi Arabian royal family, the house of Saud and Fahd and all these other guys.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, as this unfolds, and I'm not picking on anybody, I don't want you guys to think I'm picking, look, I'm a battle planner. I got to look at a 1.5 billion person army, a horde coming against us. And as a battle planner, I got to think, are they more dangerous than 150,000 or a million and a half or even 150 million, right? They got 1.5 billion out there. We got to, you know, like triage, consider this stuff. Dutch and Pastor Warren, myself, are very concerned about the New World Order, but seems to me that the Muslims don't even care about the New World Order.
They're like the free radical. They're like a free radical that has been, you know, they go in phases. They're like waves. They, for, you know, after the second great jihad, they kind of laid low for a while. They still did their thing, but that way they could, you know, have periods of, you know, not outright horrendous violence. Say, look, we're a religion of peace. But all they were doing was lying back like a coiling snake, and now they're reaching forward again. And you know, just I was saying before you came on, everybody's worried whether or not Congress will declare World War III. And I'm like, dude, we're already in it. This is World War III. I read on the air yesterday a list of the nations where U.S. soldiers are getting combat pay, and it's everywhere, pretty much.
Yep.
And I actually found on there that it said there was a budget line item for Iran, that they said that there are soldiers getting $250 a month on the ground in Iran, and I'm hoping maybe they're training the Kurds or something. But according to this Defense Department budget, I was just poking around on the internet, and I found it said Iran. And some places are really weird, like, you know, 24 kilometers from the embassy, you know, different nations when we're in Arab nations, but this just said Iran, land forces. and it said combat pay is authorized. And I'm like, okay. So they just, in their own bookkeeping, they, you know, and this budget was put together in 2009 and approved, you know, for 2011. So it's, you know, we've got people all over the place doing stuff, and we're fighting them all over the world. And so we're already engaged in it, so we can sit back all we want and say we're not at war with Islam all we want, but that doesn't make it not so. That's like saying, you know, there's nobody in my house trying to kill me with a shotgun when the guys are roaming up and down your halls calling your name. You know, you can hide behind the refrigerator all you want, but that's not going to stop the inevitable. So,
you brought up a real good concept, the second grade jihad, absolutely perfect. A lot of people don't realize, and that goes back to World War III. The first grade jihad ended in 632 A.D., 732 A.D., the second great jihad, a lot of people say it ended in 1683 at the gates of Vienna. Really, the second great jihad ended with World War One when we finally crushed the Ottoman Empire. The second great jihad was held in check in 1683 at the gates of Vienna. That would have been by Sobieski. That's Majewski, Magic's good buddy. The second great jihad ended about 1917, 1918 or so, and now we're in the third great jihad. So the third great jihad began in 1973. That's not very long. The third great jihad began with the Yom Kippur War of 1973, so that's only, what, 46 years? Is that right? Am I doing that right?
I think so.
Three from 1919 minus, oh, I got it wrong, 1973 minus 1919. Let me do 4. When I get on the radio, my brain turns into vegetable oil.
Me too, because I'm doing like three things at once.
It's only 54 years. For 54 years, because there was a gap in Islam's war against the world for only 54 years from 1919 to 1973 is only 54 years. People don't realize that. They never stop. And like Dutch said, the Arabic word is called hudna, hudna, H-U-D-N-A. When they declare a treaty, a hudna, it's only because they're getting their butts kicked. Mm-hmm. And then they'll use that hudna, that treaty, to regroup, get their money, get their supplies, get their warriors, get their money, which they did in only 54 years after being the Ottoman Empire completely destroyed and abandoned. Kemal Ataturk took over Turkey and tried to turn it into Europe. And then the Muslims wandered around, and where'd they go? They went from the Ottoman Empire to Egypt and Saudi Arabia in 1973. Saudi Arabia has surplus cash from their rise in gas oil overnight, and immediately they began funding global jihad around the world. And so I got to ask you, was the New World Order funding global jihad? Well, they were doing their thing, no doubt. But now you get combat pay in Mindanao, part of the Philippines. We got a bunch of special forces in Mindanao advising and helping the Filipinos, so those guys are getting all kinds of combat pay, too. So, yeah. Dutch, you nailed it on that second grade jihad. We're in the third grade jihad. Might as well call it the Third World War.
Yeah.
Same thing.
You know, it's not like, you know, we sit around and wait for our grandkids to look back and call it that. No. We're already in it. And we look around the world. Let's jump, and I'm going to jump again with you here. Look at what's going on in Syria right now. And I had called you earlier today on this. Refugees coming out, Muslims killing Muslims, and I wrote on our post is like, if they do this to one another, what then will they do to us? And they're slaughtering people in Syria. They're literally blockading towns with bulldozers and dirt so they can't get out, circling them with razor wire, and then going through in death squads, guys dressed like ninjas with red armbands and slitting throats in the streets. And nobody's...
Repeat that for the audience. Repeat that several times, because that's got to sink in. They actually bulldoze the earth to surround their own Muslim people, lock them in, and go ahead.
And then strung razor wire... didn't even set up checkpoints, just bulldozed the city so they couldn't get in. These are 10 cities that are, and Steve will go into it, or a different twist, you know, different denomination, I guess, if that's the proper word. And they surround the cities, set up death squads wearing black uniforms with red armbands, and are going through, dragging whole families out into the street and slitting their throats. Women, children, men. They said the streets smell like corpses. The people that are coming out, they're making it over to Lebanon now. They're escaping these Muslims. And they're trying to get out, and it's all over secular fighting. It's the government of Syria is saying they're trying to get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood says they're trying to get democracy and build a constitutional country based on Sharia law. And then the Jack Muslims in the middle are getting slaughtered. And nobody's doing anything. And I called Steve. I'm like, why is this any different than Libya? It's a government slaughtering its people with tanks and bulldozers and bombs. What's different? And I asked Steve if he would talk about that today.
Yeah, the Syrian army is pretty substantial, probably 50 times bigger than the Libyan army. So we know if we go into Syria, it's going to be Katie bar the door. There's going to be a lot of people killed. Now, also, Syria is kind of unique. They're the only Middle Eastern Muslim country that's not based, the constitution is not based on Islam. About 12% or 1 in 8 people are what's called Alawites, A-L-A-W-I-T-E-S. They're a strange sectarian of Islam. They actually like the Christians, and the Christians and the Alawite Muslims get along pretty good. There's probably 10% of Syria is Christian. Then the rest of it is Sunni and Shiite. But as Dutch said, this is how Islam works, and this is in Peter Hammond's that documentation that he did. When the Muslims have 100% control, then they turn on each other. Shiites fight Sunnis, Sunnis fight Alawites, Alawites fight Sufis. Sufi comes from the Greek word Sophia, which means wisdom, and the Sufis are broken into two branches. Hmm. You got the peaceful Sufis, and then you got the really out-of-control, insane Sufis, once again based on the word sophistication, Sophia, wisdom, etc. So the reason we're not getting involved in Syria is because their army is just too stinking big, plus we're going to be pulled into Israel and everything else. Yeah. Where Libya, back on the western side of Egypt, is kind of isolated, and their army, as everybody can tell, is not very substantial. So,
yeah, and it's and not that I want anybody to get involved, but it just the hypocrisy is so blatant.
Muslim Brotherhood is going to start democracy. That's interesting. That's never happened before.
Yeah, but the media, I'm not finding. I had to dig to find that article, and I'm not finding, you know, on the regular CBS or those stations talking about the slaughters that's occurring in these other nations at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood, and at the and don't think for a minute that these leaders of these countries, won't stop killing each other just to turn on us. You know, they're going to, the one thing that'll unify them, like anything else, is when they start exporting that violence over here. Right now, they're trying to work out their in-house differences through violence. But the minute we go over and start bombing them like they want to do, you know, the idiots over here want to do, a lot of people want to do that, which I agree with the Monroe Doctrine. Let's just stick to our hemisphere. But the minute we do anything to them, they're all going to turn on us. We won't be able to go to the Muslim Brotherhood and go, hey, remember when we helped you in Libya? Would you mind helping us against Iran? No, not going to happen.
That's a great point, because in the United States, when we defeated the Germans and the Italians, they're both based on a Christian background, and it was pretty interesting. In fact, when they were comparing the Pacific Theater, the Japanese were pretty much like the Muslim Brotherhood, where, you know, if they got killed in battle, then they got special favors through emperor worship. So, in fact, if you watch that series, Band of Brothers, which is not bad, the very last show, they're watching clips from how the soldiers and Marines are fighting in the Pacific, and they're just, you can see they're terrified, because they can see the Japanese just don't give up, which is exactly what the Muslims do. But we as Americans, we think, oh, well, turn a cheek, we'll love your neighbor. If we help you, then we expect something in return. But in Islam, it's like kafir, infidel, we don't care. Give us everything you want, because if you don't give it to us, we're going to kill you and take it anyhow. So we don't care if you gave us money. We don't care if you gave us military technology. We don't care if you gave us anything. It was ours in the first place, because they believe they own the whole world, which is hard for us to believe. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. In Pakistan, once we kind of turned on them, what'd they do? Bingo, they showed their true colors.
Helicopter.
Passion. Absolutely. Yeah. Which, you know, that's interesting because England, Great Britain, went into Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, and brought a lot of those Muslims back, including Muammar Gaddafi, and trained them in Sandhurst, thinking, oh, we're going to turn them into good little Brits. No, they don't assimilate. Now you can see Britain is overrun with these monsters from hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we made the same mistake with Central and South America with our College of the Americas. And, you know, in training Central and South American dictators, and look where that got us. It's called,
exactly.
It's just the manipulation. And I spoke yesterday about it a little bit, about how we're no different than the golden age of piracy. These nations go out and give letters of marque to these bandits and then get surprised when they turn on them. You know, they're like, hey, wait a minute. We had an agreement. We had a contract. Why are you attacking our ships? And it's just politicians never change because they continue to be the puppets of the power elites of the world that just want to keep us, you know, they want to keep us down. And for them to claim they're trusting Islam, the world leaders, it shows two things. Either they're incredibly ignorant or they're just willfully evil, knowing that all they're doing is allowing the hornet's nest to get thwacked over and over and over again. And they're just they're playing with lightning. They can't control what these Muslims are going to do. So for them to think that if we go send them a bunch of aid and military and, you know, technology, that Pakistan's not going to, you know, turn on us, it's foolhardy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which brings us, now we got Larry Wick, and I'm looking forward to the training on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Back to Dutch and Ollie's. We don't just complain. We don't just whine. When I listen to every other radio and TV show, everybody whine, 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 complain, complain. How about a solution? I don't hear any solutions. Now, look, Dutch and I, Pastor Warren, Code 20, Christian Guardians, it's going out of control in a positive way, you know, based on the five-step program, the theology, proper theology, arm, 3 to 5 families. I used to say organized based on the four organic governmental charters. Now I'm saying create your own government based on the four organic charters, which is how the Continental Congress started and the prepare. But we've been on the offensive on these high school outreaches. They're going absolutely insane, fabulous, in a great way. It's spreading like wildfire. In September, the new school year, we'll be operating in 5 or 6 different counties simultaneously. At the same time, we're offering training. I'm actually going out to the site. When we bring in new leaders, they are not allowed to lead until they've gone to 5 of these outreaches, doing the training, working the letter, going through the Code 20, the theology arm, 3 to 5 people, create your own government, prepare. It's catching on. It's great. I talked to 2 of my key attorneys. I already got a suggestion from a guy down, my attorney in Northwest San Diego County. We're picking up, I think, I'm communicating with him now. He's actually a street preacher. And, yeah, we're going to train him, and we're going to go out on Islam. But as I sent the email to the street preacher, I said, look, we're going out on Islam, but it's quickly going to turn to Christianity. No matter how much you talk about Islam, the bad guys are always going to come back and say, well, you wicked, evil Christians, and that's where we use, make it simple, what would Jesus do? What would Muhammad do? Well, we know what Muhammad would do. He would have sex with dead women. Yeah. He would have sex with 6-year-old girls. He would dress up in Aisha, his 6-year-old wife. He would dress up in her clothes and lie on the bed. Then he was having, he's a transvestite, and he was having homosexual sex. We got it all documented. So the weak link, remember, the weakest link in a chain, or the weakest part of a chain is the weakest link. And everybody seems to go to the strong points of Islam where they can lie, 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 lie. We love you. You're wonderful. We're great. Like these 12 different governmental agencies. They're all just a kumbaya. Oh, yeah, you guys are nice, you're loving, you're wonderful. But then, as soon as we brought up the Muslim Brotherhood, you could see the whole atmosphere in the room got tense. But thank God we had several cameras rolling, including a television quality. We got a documentary we're making on it. So back to the street preacher, we're working with him, and I know he's going to say, well, I just want to preach Jesus. And we're going to say, dude, if you don't stop Islam, you're going to cut your head off when you try to preach Jesus. why don't you use code 20 in the high school outreach, and they're going to ask you about Jesus. And then when they ask you, when everybody says, I'm too afraid to share my knowledge of Jesus Christ.
A mosque in Visalia and start asking them questions about Islam? Oh, no, I can't do that. I just want to show up on Sundays and listen to the sermons. That's all I want to do. You know,
I want to hear sermons about King David attacking Goliath and Davy Crockett in the Alamo, but he doing the same thing? Dude, you got to be kidding me.
yeah, it's true. And
it's all too funny.
But, you know, it's typical. You know, I've been, you know, you read any time in history, and but there are always guys doing what we're doing. We're nothing new. We're nothing special. We're just happen to stand in the city gates. Remember that letter I sent you that was written, I don't know, it was in the 17th, 16th century, century to the Turkish, Muslim leader.
All the soldiers.
Oh.
I sent it to all the soldiers. They were like, yeah, can we go to that church? That's our church.
You know, we can't, you know, even back then, he sent to the, what are they called? The Russian steppe people. I forgot the name of the Cossacks. He says, hey, you guys, you know, stop raiding my people. Surrender. I am the great Lord, blah, blah, blah. I am the defender of Islam. The, you know, Christians will bow at me and be my slaves. And he sent this whole letter. And they sent back this profanity-laced letter saying, go ahead. We're going to kill you. And they did. And they just said, we will never surrender to you. We stand for Christ and Christ only. But they were soldiers, so they used very foul language when they did it, mocking his titles and his letters of you know, his history and stuff. And then just laid into him and said, go ahead. Now it's going to get worse. And they went to Turkey and killed him. They beheaded him. And that's what we need today. And then the accompanying painting showing them, you know, these leaders of these Cossack tribes sitting around, you know, half-clothed, but almost, you know, a little bit better than barbarians. You could tell they had some culture. But drafting this letter and just laughing as they did it, because they were just doing everything they could to enrage this Ottoman Turk. And actually, he was pre-Ottoman, wasn't he? I can't remember. Maybe he was Ottoman. But it was just great.
Beautiful.
And you don't see that attitude anymore. You know, if when nations threaten nations, oh, what did we do wrong? You know, that's what Obongo is going to do. How can I appease you so you don't want to blow up my people? You know, what can I do? And it's... I don't know, but the people haven't changed. It's just the way in which we deal with things has changed. And people, for some reason, they've got this veneer of civility on them that they're afraid to shed, and they don't want to deal with it. You know, they want to be spoon-fed things that tickle their ears and that are easily digested. And when, you know, and the reason I made this point, and I'm taking a long way, is that we're nothing new. We're dealing with Islam the way it has been dealt with the past two times that it tried to take over the world, and that's the only way that works. Brute force, in-your-face preparations. And I said, you know, cowards and sheep make excuses, but real men make preparations for the hard times.
Like that.
And
I've been
spreading that everywhere, because it just kind of came to me when people were complaining when I posted that letter on Facebook, and I said, warning, you know, foul language. That's a little nasty, telling him to, you know, eat his own poo and that what he did with his mother. And I said, hey, these were men of war, and their families were going to be slaughtered if they didn't submit to slavery, and that's how they answered it. You're not going to get that today,
that's
though.
That's very right.
Yeah, you're not going to get that from so many people today. They're just going to be like, oh, well, if we're nice to them, they'll just leave me alone. Well, if they slaughter their own women and children, rape their own babies, and butcher their own cousins to get power, what are they going to do to us? I keep hitting that point because it has to be driven home. What is the New World Order and the Muslims, the Nazis, all the evil forces? Somebody in the chat room said, well, what do all these groups have in common? Well, one, they all work for Satan. So what do the forces of evil and Satan have in store for us if they eat their own young? Period. I mean, and I don't know how to make it any clearer to the sheep of this nation and the world, because we are, in fact, you know, this is a global cause. This isn't just about America. This isn't about waving old glory and, you know, not on my soil. It's about the world. Their goal is to take the entire world, as Stephen said. And historically, I mean, that's the way it is. They got to Spain. Look what they did to Spain, right, Steve?
Absolutely. You're right on target. And for those of you, you know, Dutch makes Dutch. Dutch, I got to tell you, you're a genius. I love working with you and Stacy and Lou. You're a genius. First, you bring up the second great jihad. You know, it ended in 1919, and now you're talking about this. One of the things here, people don't understand this. I had to write that down. Cowards and sheep make excuses. Real men make preparation for war. I absolutely like that. Having been in real war, and I know you were in real war, when it says in the Bible that our speech should all be seasoned, when you read that, they're talking about inside the church, dealing with the church people. But when people are coming to brutalize, knock down, rape your wife, murder her, and things like that, your language, when it's seasoned at that time, should be pretty chock full with expletive deleted, because you're going into killing people in a loving manner, and people can't understand that. I'm speaking June 12th, I'm speaking to a couple hundred people, the Minutemen of Missouri, and that thing's going off the charts in a positive way, too. It's going unbelievably good, and I'm going to be discussing. I was at a small meeting, maybe 75 people, about 4 months ago, and I stood up after I raised my hand, and I said, you know, a lot of this stuff in warfare, I don't understand why you guys are for our troops, and then when I mention warfare, you get all upset. I said, for example, we killed 2,000 Muslims in Fallujah in less than 24 hours, and this guy cut me off, and he says, well, we have to love our enemy, and it caught me so off guard, I was really angry. Then I went home, and I told my wife, so in other words, according to these sissies, these cowards and sheep who make excuses, if we go to war, we have to tell it, pull the trigger and say, I love you. Pull the trigger, I love you. Throw a hand grenade. Before I throw a hand grenade, I got to say, I love you. Before I fire a shoulder-fired rocket at my enemy, I got to say, I love you. That's crazy. I said, spear sovereignty. The church is given a mandate. For example, on Sunday morning, when we go to church at the Church of Korea, our speech is very seasoned, very worshipful, very respectful. But God damn it, when we go to fight the enemy, if you don't have the huevos and the guts to call the enemy an SOB or something else, then you know what? Go hang out with the girls. Because Dutch and I are only looking for 1 in 100, like Gideon started with 30,000, threw 99% away, only kept one. And I'll bet you King David and Joshua, I'll bet you they actually said some pretty nasty words in the Apostle Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Smacked in the mouth.
Yeah.
Because he said some pretty nasty things about the guy, and then when he found out his position, then he apologized. But it proves that Paul used some pretty manly language, and Elijah, when he called down the fire from heaven, when he was done, he called him some pretty nasty stuff, and then he killed them all.
Yeah.
And this is all quoted in the New Testament, too. So for all you sissies out there, all you're going to do is complain. Dutch and me, Pastor Warren, Code 20, Christian Guardians, we go out, we are protecting you. In fact, I was reading a quote the other day, peaceful men lay in bed at night because violent men are out there protecting them.
Yeah. You know, and
I think that's very Christ-like.
Yeah, yeah, Burke. And the key thing is that's the way it's always been, and the sheep never learn. It seems like the sheepdogs get it, and it doesn't take long for the learning curve on sheepdogs. You know, they just have to do a little bit of research, read scripture, and they can find examples. And go, oh, yeah, now I get it. I can do it. But the sheep don't even want to accept the verses and the history when you give it to them, and they'll just blatantly deny it. You know, they will just say, no, that's not what it means. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. And I just want to slap people when they throw that one at me, because I'm like, do you even understand what that means? And stuff like that. And we've done whole shows on what those verses actually mean, and Peter Hammond's dealt with it far better than I ever will. But it goes back to my theory that we're going to have to wade through row after row of sheep to get to the wolves as they come to us. And they are almost the worst. I have more respect, honestly, and I'm going to say it right here, I have more respect for the Muslim jihadist than I do the mushy sheep Christian in my own nation. Because at least
I do too.
The jihadist is going to do what he says he's going to do. You don't know what a sheep's going to do. And a sheep in wolf's clothing is even worse, because you don't know if you can trust them or not, because they act all tough, and then when it comes down to it, they buckle. So I have more respect for my enemy. So I guess that's a way of loving my enemy. I respect them, and if they submit and convert, and they prove through the fruit of their actions they've converted, okay, and they're unarmed, you know, that's fine. But the minute they take up arms against me, my kin and my kith and my family and my faith system, they're my enemy. And my greatest love, as you teach, is that I have to defend my family, who I love far more than my enemy. And so it is about love.
It's a very loving thing.
Yeah.
It's a very loving thing. Yeah. It's degrees of love. Somebody was criticizing the other day, and they said, well, you hated the Viet Cong when you fought them in the North Vietnamese Army. I said, wait a minute. It was a matter of degrees. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
And if the guy is coming to kill me, I love my men, and frankly, I love my life more than I love them. So it's a matter of degrees. And, yeah. You know, we all have that. We love our friends. We love our wives. We love our children. We love our, you know, animals. We love, there's different degrees there. So we can flip it right back on them when they say they hate. Now, in Islam, they do. They hate everybody, and that's just the way it is. Because, once again, what would Jesus do? He would base all of his law on agape, and he would kill people, which he will in Revelation 19:11, and he already has. And Peter killed two people, Ananias and Sapphira, just by talking. And some people say, well, he didn't use a sword. They're still dead.
Yeah.
And under Islam, it's Maseo, hate is the fulfilling of all the law.
Yeah.
And exactly what Peter Hammond says, when it says, those who live by the sword die by the sword, the way I translate that is, if you're the godfather in the mafia, and you live by murdering and killing everybody, that's what that means.
Yeah, if you make every decision at the point of the sword, yeah.
Yeah, Code 20, Dutch and I, Andrew, James, Pastor Campbell, we don't live by the sword. I sell insurance and shoe horses. And Dutch is an instructor, trainer, elder at the Church of Kuya. And Pastor Campbell does four or five different jobs. We don't live by the sword.
We all whack weeds. We do clear brush, whatever it takes.
We don't live by the sword. Now, when the Muslims and the murderers and MS-13 and the gangbangers come up who do live by the sword, then at that time, for a few moments, we will pull out the sword, and we will kill them, and then we put the sword down. We do not live by the sword, and for some reason, that drives a lot of people crazy. But then again, they think Muhammad was a good guy, and he was having sex with little girls and dead people, transvestite, he was a fag. Hey, what can I say?
You don't even have to, it doesn't even have to be against an aggressive enemy. I bring forth from the Old Testament, and the verse escapes me, but Phineas, when he was in the temple and the two people were having sex in the back of the temple and he jammed him through with a javelin, was he condemned for murder? Did God punish him? No. He was blessed by God for doing the righteous thing because an unclean act was being done in the temple. So it doesn't even have to be a crime of mortal sin, you know, well, not mortal sin, of attacking or killing someone, a capital crime. It was simply the sin of committing a sexual act between two unwed people in the back of a temple. And what did God do? He blessed Phineas, didn't he? I love that story. Just, he hit him with such ferocity that the javelin went through both bodies and impaled them in the act of fornication. And I share that with people, and they're like, I didn't know that was in there. I'm like, yeah.
Read your Bible, scholars. Yeah, you nailed it again. So, dude, you got me on the second great job. You got me on Phineas taking a javelin and ram it through the fornicating couple. Man, that's two you got me on.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, you got me on cowards and sheep make excuses, real men make preparation for war.
That was divinely inspired in an argument
that's,
on Facebook.
That's victory for three tonight. Yeah, you're killing me. I'm going to shut up. And
there's so many. I mean, I can think of times when, I can't remember the name of the general. He came before the king and they said, well, what'd you do? Did you kill everything? Yeah. Then why am I hearing sheep and cows? And then he hides, the other guy comes up and hacks him to death, and, you know, unarmed, sitting there, you know, in the palace, and he still hacked him to death, and he was blessed. So there is no black and white to all of this, you know, that's it.
Amen and amen. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, there's so many examples, and no, we're not talking. See, what's funny is people get mad at me, these Tea Party Christian types, but yet they're the same people that want B-52s to go bomb a nation of people they've never met in their name with bombs that they paid for with their taxes. And I'm talking about defending my own homeland when an invader comes to my home.
Good point.
And I'm like,
four for four now.
Yeah, it's like you want a cruise missile from a submarine to kill Gaddafi's kids, but you don't want me to have the right to defend myself and my house against an invader. Or in a mall, or on a train. I don't. It doesn't. you're intellectually retarded. It's not just, you know, it's not even like they're just being dishonest. They're retarded completely. And I don't know if it's the
right.
If it's all the stuff they're putting in the water and the Chinese poison in our food and everything, but, you know, we could go down those chemtrails doing it. But these people, they can't have it eight different ways and still sleep quietly at night without the help of, you know, Mother's Little Helper, I guess. Maybe that's why we have so many stress-related injuries in America now. These people are insane.
That's just four for four. One, you got the second great jihad. Number two, you got cowards and sheep make excuses, real men make preparation for war. Number three, you got Phineas Rams, the javelin through the fornicating couple. Number four, the people pay taxes for B-52s, but they don't have the courage to protect their wife and kids. Dude.
Yeah.
I think that's you hit for the cycle tonight, man.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I guess it would be the grand slam of radio commentary there. but we're doing what we can. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left here. You guys going to be here early Thursday? When I say early, like midday?
Yeah, we are all planned. We've changed all of our plans so that we will be there no later than Gary Cooper at high noon. We're all ready to go Thursday afternoon. The Code 20, the Church of Korea, the October outreach, Larry Wick, all of this stuff, the high school outreaches. For all of you guys out there say we don't have enough people, we do high school outreaches with only three. Dutch Jones and Pastor Campbell, just two guys, turned around the Church of Korea, which was virtually dead on arrival, and now it's starting to flame up, just like when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses. The Reformation has begun. I am convinced we're in the new Reformation, and within 50 years, it's going to be the church will come back. It'll be led by real men, guys like Phineas and Gideon, Dutch and Pastor Warren, Lou is going to be up there. Things are going great. So for all you guys who can take a silver lining and attach a cloud to it, hey, just do us one favor. Just get out of the way. All you do is slow us up and make us a little bit irritable. You ain't going to stop us. Because Jesus is leading from the front. We're just following.
Yeah.
You guys get in the way. You're just a bump in the road.
You know, it's fascinating to me because, you know, people say things like, well, there's no leaders out there. Nobody's stepping up. Nobody's going to do it. Well, what are you waiting for? I mean, lead nothing, at least yourself. If not your family, you know, lead your family. If you can't lead your church, lead your family, lead your spouse, lead your son and your daughter in the righteousness. And then as you build these little victories and you get the guts to go out and hand out flyers at a school or speak at a city council meeting about how, you know, things need to be done in the community to prepare for this, it's good. It's really good that you start small, but don't be afraid of the big stuff. And stop waiting for somebody else. Stop sitting there and going, well, I'm just going to sit on my couch in my basement and read Time Magazine and on the Internet and watch all this stuff and go, man, I wish it were better. It's like Steve said earlier, one of the things we're big about is solutions. We like to bring up the stupidity. We like to bring up the weirdness that goes on in the world. But it's about solutions. And maybe we didn't spend as much time on solutions today as we normally do, but that's what we're about. That's why we're having this training. That's why Larry Wick tomorrow wants to meet with these soldiers that are still engaged in combat. They have the risk of going back and being rotated back in. Larry Wick is a leader. He wants to arm people with skills to do what they need to do in the event something goes wrong. So that's what we're about. The music's rolling now. Steve, I want to thank you for calling in today again. I can't wait to see you Thursday. I think we're having tri-tip Thursday night or Friday night at the pastor's house or something, so I'll look forward to that.
Awesome.
So, folks, this has been Stronghold Radio. You've got to check out abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. If you want to contact Steve, it's been working well, just email me at dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info. I pass them on to him. We've had some great questions come through the email and want to know what Steve saw him. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. We're just along as soldiers in his army. And if that freaks you folks out, I'm sorry that you're retarded. I'm not sorry I said it. So, folks, God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. We'll be back. We'll do a show tomorrow, but it'll probably be the last one of the week because we've got too much going on with training. So pray for us. We pray for you. And keep preparing because you don't know when the day is going to come. God bless you all.